We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, the number one podcast network for today's Kansas City sports fans. With former players from your favorite teams, informed perspectives, and former insiders, this is the place for you. KC Sports Network is proudly presented by M-Prize Bank, your partner in possible.
All right, folks, before we get going, we got to talk about M-Prize Bank. You can open an account with M-Prize Bank in less than 5 minutes. The savings just start there, though. M-Prize is a trusted partner with a variety of products and services to help you achieve your goals. Don't be tethered to a brick building. Start a meaningful relationship with a bank that has your best in mind. Shout out M-Prize Bank, and shout out to the Kansas basketball Jayhawks boys. I know it's early. I know it's a November basketball game. But, man, does it feel good to, one, win in the Champions Classic, and two, beat Duke. And, AB, we kind of talked about this a little bit in the episode earlier in the week. I didn't know if Duke was going to be hateable again with Shire at the helm. And I didn't hate Shire, but, boy, Filipowski was hateable.
Oh, brother.
My God.
So we got to talk about that. We'll get to that. But fun game. I mean – It took a while, but we saw what we wanted to see out of Grady Dick late in that game. He takes over. Jalen lived up to what we've hoped to see. DeJuan was DeJuan. Like, I don't know, B-Turn, you didn't talk much hoops this week because you weren't on the episode, obviously. But what were your expectations for this game? And have they, and I guess for the season for this team, and did you see something last night that maybe has you feeling better or the same? Or where do you stand with this team right now?
Yeah, I felt good about the matchup. I thought Duke would have a tough time scoring, and they did early. I think Shulman said it about five times in the first half how it felt weird that Duke was in it, or it was that tight, and KU should have been up way more, which I totally agreed. I thought we could have been up close to double digits at half. I worried about all their height and their length, but I thought, obviously, I thought we could be really good defensively, and they had a lot of young talent but would struggle to score. We always see ugly games in the Champions Classic. Yeah. And just speaking of ugly, a lot of college teams start the year off like that, just sluggish. So I obviously thought we would struggle to score to start the year, but I think we've looked a lot better than I even imagined. And I had high hopes on this team. I think we have two elite scorers and we have two elite defenders. So I think that's a good combination. And this team's as good as anybody in the country.
Yeah, I think that was a big takeaway to me is like, yeah, we're not – it's going to be different. It's not going to be, you know, we don't have that point guard that's going to go score a bunch of points. But, man, DeJuan Harris is so good. And, like, I think we're past it. But any DeJuan Harris slander should just get you permanently banned from Twitter. Like, I won't have it this year. The dude doesn't make mistakes late in the game. I saw Norm say it, Shire say it. He's just so poised. He's exactly what you want late in the game. Handling the ball in a pressure situation. He's played in the biggest games ever. B-Turn, you kind of said how Shulman kept bringing up that it felt like we should be up more. While in the first half, I agreed. AB, did it kind of drive you crazy that he kept saying that the whole game? He kept being like,
I didn't hear him a second. Like
we shot three, like we were 3-19 from three. We weren't exactly good either. And he kept acting like, we should have been blowing them out, but I didn't feel like we played that good. So to me, it was like, I'm happy we got that win. I felt like we gritted it out. And I'm a Dan Shulman guy. I love him, but I was almost in the second half getting sick of it. I was like, dude, we're not playing good either. Let's quit acting like we're just letting Duke hang around because we're playing. I don't know.
We were 2 of 18 before Grady hit from three before Grady hit that big time three with 2 minutes to go.
It was weird.
They played good for like the first 10 minutes of the game, and then they just let the narrative ride on that that's the only style of basketball that was being played all night long. I didn't really notice it a whole lot either, but I wasn't looking for it, I guess.
Yeah.
First half, he said it a ton, which I didn't feel like that in the first half, because what was our biggest lead in the first half? I think we got it.
Eight or nine, right?
Yeah. And they just slowly crept back in. I think Filipowski kept finishing around the rim, which I think the funniest part of the game was when he made the layup down low and he got so pumped, like was flexing, got all red-faced, and then he sees the offensive foul. And he was just driving me crazy and really bothering me. So that just – that got a laugh out of me.
That's when I knew – like, that's the moment I knew. Me and AB talked about this on the pod, like, how will we feel about Duke this year? That's the moment I knew Duke is still always going to be Duke. It's something about the way they celebrate. It's something about the way they complain about refs. They just do it in such a corny, unlikable way that the second I saw Filipowski react like that, I was like, all right, game on. I'm going to hate these guys for the next 30 years. Here we go. Nothing has changed. But
so we were up I just looked. We were up 17-6 at one point in the first half, which the first 7 or 8 minutes was really slow from Duke. They couldn't buy a bucket. So, yeah, we were up 11 with like 12 minutes to go, and then Duke definitely picked it up, picked up the intensity defensively, and we had a tough time scoring, which – we're going to see that a lot this year, I have a feeling. I mean, Jalen's
me a lot.
I think me and AB said it 2 weeks ago. I don't think you were on, Rye, but I said I think Jalen's going to get, what, 10 or 15 a night, but there's going to be nights like last night where he can't make jumpers, which is – it was outrageous that he still had 25 last night. I mean, he goes 0 for 7 from 3, but so get around the rim, and that's what me and AB talked about, the 10 or 15 a night, is he's going to get so many offensive boards and second-chance points. Because he's so active on the offensive boards, and he's obviously – I think he's going to be solid from the line, but there's going to be nights where we just aren't making jumpers at all.
What did we think of – you know, I don't know. Obviously, Jalen had a great night, 25, 11, and 5. And I thought it was interesting because it – I guess in my mentions a little bit, it was almost like people were annoyed. And I get it. It's frustrating to see a guy miss 7 threes, but like – it felt like people were a little annoyed that he was shot hunting, and maybe he did at times. But to me, I was like, dude, nobody else is – like when we have those laws where Grady Dick's out of the game, and honestly, Duke did a really good job just taking Grady Dick out of the offense. So to me, it was like nobody else was really doing anything. You're not – DeJuan's not going to go get you a bunch of buckets. McCollar, I mean, he was good in the first – he wasn't – I mean, he's not a guy that's going to go create a bucket. So to me, it's like we're going to have to see that a lot, I think, where Jalen's just the guy that just takes the ball, puts his head down, tries to get to the bucket. And it's going to be frustrating at times, but I do think, unfortunately, with the way our offense is set up, that that's going to be normal, that Jalen takes a lot of shots.
Yeah, and I think – so KU was 2 for 18 from 3 at one point. I'm pretty sure McCollar hit both of those, right?
Yeah, early too. His first two shots were threes.
He hit 2 in the first half. So, yeah, we were 2 of 18 from, like, no one, like you said, no one hit a jumper. And it didn't feel to me, maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'd have to rewatch the game, but it didn't feel like Jalen was really forcing the threes. I think they were open looks, and I think teams might sag off of him a little bit until he does consistently knock down jumpers. Because, like we've said, he hasn't been a consistent jump shooter throughout his career at KU. Last year, he was in the 20s from threes. So, teams are going to make him hit threes, and they'll probably sag off until he does start hitting them. But like you said, he was willing us. Like, that game probably gets out of hand without him, obviously. Grady didn't do anything. Obviously, we'll get into Grady. We can get into him right now. But he kind of went silent for a while. It worried me just because he was silent for the whole second half. And then to about 2:30 mark, he just hits his stride, 7 points in like a two-minute span, hits a three.
That was
huge. That three was so huge. Like, I even tweeted from the pod page, we're 2 of 18, like Grady's due. And Grady's, obviously, they always talk about his quick trigger and nice release, but he hits that three, and then he catches a backdoor lob from DeJuan, and then he finishes righty on the left side, which was a nasty finish. Yeah. And Jay Will was freaking awesome all night, but, I mean, Grady won us that game.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that was such a special just sequence from Grady where – It was funny. I've got some friends that are, they're KU fans. They live in Ohio, but they don't watch like the ESPN Plus games. Like, but they're tuned in for Duke, obviously. And they were like, I was telling them, like, man, Grady Dick's awesome. And I remember probably like 30 seconds before his spurt, they were like, consider me underwhelmed by Grady Dick. Like, they were just kind of like, what was all the hype for? And then like the text start coming in. They're like, oh, there it is. Like that Grady, some of the finishes he had yesterday. And I know he came in billed as a shooter, which he is. But, like, I've been blown away the way he can finish around the rim. Even he had that up and under, like, and one in the game before this where it was just, like, you can tell why scouts love him. And, like, Kevin O'Connor, the NBA Ringer guy, like, he was posting video about how he just loves Grady Dick. And so, I don't know. I've been – and I know that he – it sucked that he got kind of taken out of the game. And, honestly, I don't know. Did he – he was kind of – Duke kind of went after him defensively, didn't they?
I don't even know if they – it kind of just felt like he was standing around in the corner waiting for, like, kickouts the whole time. Maybe I just only saw a few parts of it and was only paying attention for a little bit. But, I mean, they always had a guy close to him, but it's I don't feel like they were doing anything special or switching. It just kind of felt like nothing was really running through him, and he was hoping to be open for a kickout three.
Yeah, and Shulman and Billis kind of talked about that defensively with Grady, how Grady's kind of coming along slowly defensively. And it felt like Duke was attacking him, getting guys, taking him to the hole, penetrating
him. I think that's why he got, like, Norm sat him for a while, right? Yeah. It's just because Duke came down, they'd switch onto him and just kind of let – that's what Proctor got going a little bit, Mitchell got going a little bit. So that, you know, kind of sucked, but – I love that Norm went back to him and that ultimately won us the game. But I don't know. To me, I feel like Grady might struggle defensively at times, but he also had a big deflection. He forced that turnover. Like, but to me, our defense around him is good enough to where they can make up for any mistakes he makes, right? Like, I think we're going to be fine, even if Grady does take a little bit of time to get going defensively.
Go ahead.
I'm just looking at the box score, and I know it's Champions Classic early in the year. Like, we've heard Bill after big wins, like, say, this doesn't really matter, guys. It's early. It's only November. I would have been pretty annoyed last night if we lost to Duke, because they played, it felt like they played like absolute shit. I mean, they did play like shit. They're 35% from the floor, 14% from three. Like, we went 3 of 18 from three or whatever it was, 3 of 19. They were 3 of 21. They had 8 assists the entire game. Like, DeJuan had. They just – it was really ugly offensively. It was basically Filipowski, if that's how you say it, getting offensive rebounds, going up, finishing, which he was really solid. But just Duke still annoys me, even if it is Shire, because Shire annoyed the hell out of me with at Duke and just the way he, like, moves his lips when he talks. And
why was he – why did he yell? Did he look so weird when he yelled? Like,
yeah. Did you notice that with his mouth?
Yes.
But – he also kind of annoyed me in the second half when he was complaining about calls, because it was 7-0 at one point, and that game wouldn't have came down to the refs last night, but it was 7-0 in the second half at one point, and he's arguing about fouls, which I'm going to go on a rant someday about the charge call.
Dude, the first half,
it's so bad.
They got to just take him out. It's so annoying to me that is rewarded as good defense. They stand there. It's so fucking stupid.
You should
only be allowed
to be called for a charge if you have the ball and you push it. Like, that charge, yes. I like when that's called.
Lower the shoulder.
Yeah.
But the play.
DeJuan was running.
DeJuan does it. Yeah. Joe's was probably a decent call. I don't know. I can't remember this as well.
I think Billis agreed with that one. But, yeah, like AB said, how do you reward defenders for – like something that hasn't been a foul in the history of the sport. Like 100 years, that was never a charge.
It was just so funny that it was happening to Duke.
And this has been, 3 or 4 years they've done the charge thing? Where they changed the rules where if you literally fall down, it's a charge. And they were in our favor. So, like, I'm bitching about us getting the call. Like, the block charge call has gotten so annoying in college basketball to me.
And it takes all the rhythm out of the game. Like, it's every time someone goes to the bucket, it's just you can't score.
It's way more fun to watch a guy go up and try and swat a shot and not take a charge. Like, I'm trying to see these guys know that, okay, the only chance of them not scoring here is me going up and trying to block it. Like, now they just know I just got to somehow slide in here and fall. It's crazy.
Are you guys absolutely shocked when they call a block? Because I never expect a block at all. I think it's going to be a charge at all times, no matter if a guy's running. Because like we just said, DeJuan was literally sliding like over to get to the guy. It's not like the guy didn't lower his shoulder or use a forearm or anything like that. Like, that's a clear block to me. And it's not even close. It just feels like those refs are taught to just basically call everything a charge. And like AB said, the guy, you can't reward bad defense. Like, that's a foul on DeJuan. Like, he's a great defender. He's one of the best in the country, but you can't reward him on that play.
But as a program that lived the last 30 years of just taking annoying charges, it was pretty sweet. For like a split second, I was like, oh my gosh, like, are we going to see Duke no longer? And I know everyone says we get a favorable whistle too, but, and then it switched in the second half where it was like, nope, they're like, that was brutal when it was 7-0 and Jalen got a assaulted
twice
and no foul. They hadn't called a foul in the half on us against them. Like,
and like you always say, they usually even it out. Like when it, see like a 6-1 or a, and there's two fouls in the same possession, you get it to like 6-4. Yeah. But yeah, it felt like, I mean, I didn't obviously see like an up close, but it felt like Jalen had to have gotten fouled on one of those.
I tweeted this and I just love picturing it. Like Coach K at halftime putting in a call to like the referees in their little area, be like, hey, no more of that. Let's get these boys, let's get this even out 7-0, 10 minutes into the second half. Like, it. I don't know. I was proud of Coach K. He didn't make it about himself. There was nothing. He wasn't there, I don't think.
That's why I didn't. I still hate Duke, but obviously I don't hate him as much because Coach K, at least I know he drove Ryan. I think Ryan lost sleep over Coach K's last few years of his career, but he drove all of us crazy. So I didn't hate him as much. And I honestly kind of thought Shire was kind of cool. Like his halftime interview, his mouth thing really bothered me. And yeah. Bitching about the refs when it was 7-0 foul differential, but I didn't really hate Duke as much. I just would have been annoyed if we lost because they played like shit and we were up 11 at one point. So I thought we were better.
That's interesting you say that because I felt like as I watched the game last night, even as we blew the lead and it felt, you know, the final 5 minutes before Grady's stretch, it kind of felt like we were going to lose. But like the national championship has just mellowed me out. I was so relaxed. Did not really care that much if we lost. It was just kind of like, hey,
what if Coach K was coaching?
I don't know. Were you like that at all, AB, or were you break things like Beecher?
I'm laughing at the idea of KU at Texas in like February and Ryan screaming through his phone at us because he's so pissed at a reach and foul with 11 minutes left in the first half. I can't wait for it. But
we're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Honestly, I forgot what you even asked me because I was too busy thinking about that scenario in the future.
I was asking, like, were you like B-turn where he was going to be annoyed? And I would have been annoyed because we should have won the game. But 35%. Like, I just wasn't – I don't think I would have been that mad. I think I would have been over that loss pretty quick. Whereas in past years, like, I want to win the Champions Classic so bad.
Yeah, kind of. But I don't think I was, like, as excited after the win either. Like, I've kind of just – November basketball is fun to watch, but it just – it doesn't mean anything. And coming off a season where you win a championship, it's like, 6 months ago, we were jumping up and down in your basement celebrating a championship and a banner that's going to be up there forever. I can't get myself in the mode yet to celebrate a 6-point win against Duke in November. So, like it was fun. I'm glad we won, and I'm not, like, saying I'm not interested. It's just, like, I need a little bit of a come down from April to get back
and
into
it. I always make the joke where I, like, unrecline the chair, and now I was never I was fully laid back, relaxed. I never unreclined. I never sat up. It was just kind of a calm watch for me, which was nice.
Speaking, we'll see how long it lasts. Speaking of unreclining the chair, Bill Self, during that stretch with the DeJuan Harris, Ernest Uday, Kevin McCullough dive on the floor, he's probably just sitting, like, he probably wasn't too worked out up about a November game. He's probably just sitting there first half. He sees his boy DeJuan chase him down, and he's just leaning, DeJuan! I can just see him screaming, DeJuan!
Oh, Juan.
And then,
Ernest.
Yeah, and that stretch was amazing. Obviously, we didn't end up scoring, but those two blocks were outstanding. DeJuan's was amazing, and but DeJuan is super long. Like, I feel like that's not a block most point guards make. Like, he chased him down, beat it off the glass, and then Uday obviously comes from out of nowhere. McCullough gets on the ground. That stretch was just amazing, and that Bill was probably so pumped.
Yeah, I mean, to wrap that up with McCullough, oh man, we are adults. Okay,
my bad, sorry.
But yeah, I mean, I think someone, I can't remember who tweeted it. They said, like, oh, I think it was Jif Hawk. He was like, Bill was probably yelling. So, like, Cindy was probably getting mad at Bill for how fired up he was on that play. Like, you know, when, like, a girl gets mad at you because you're way too into a sporting event, that was definitely Bill after that play. Like, look at the fella's garden. They're garden, Cindy. Like, you know, he was just so turned up.
I would bet. Well, Bill, I think Bill's kind of going through some, he had some surgery or whatever. So I don't know how, but it feels like one of those plays where we definitely would have got like a little fist bump, or he definitely stood up.
He would have winked at somebody or something, where he's done a cool Bill Self move.
Especially with how much he hypes up DeJuan. Like, just see every time DeJuan does something great, you know, he just has a ton of pride in it.
Remember the Jamari play at Texas where Bill called it the best play in his, like, he was like, that's the best play Kansas basketball seen since I've been here. It was just Jamari running down the court and diving. No, the diving play, like, where he, like, saved the ball.
Well, and then DeJuan and Stillwater last year, he went nuts about that one. That's the best play of the season.
He loves DeJuan, dude. But DeJuan is awesome. Like, to know that we
stood
up
after that sequence. Like, you know, he was probably close to the TV like I was with a minute left.
Do we think Bill was like, I mean, what type of environment do you think he was watching in? Do you think he was drinking? Do you think he was, like, locked in, like he was watching film? How do we think Bill watches a game that he can't coach? That's got to be, very hard for him.
Am I imagining this? I thought I heard someone say he traveled with the team.
Mm-hmm.
And he was there. So what did he do? Did he just, like, watch at a hotel bar or something? Or, like, in the locker room? Was he allowed in there?
Honestly, probably.
Didn't they say he stayed at a different hotel or something?
Yeah.
It feels weird to go out there.
It's so funny. He was, like, talking to our team and doing all that, and he's like, oh, see you later. Heading to a different hotel. Like, why? This thing's also silly.
All day today, I couldn't stop thinking about, I think it was your tweet a few weeks ago about how Bill just gets to start coaching in the Bahamas this year. His season starts by coaching in Bahamas. Like, we're going to beat the shit out of whoever we play Friday night. Norm's going to go 4-0 in his head coaching career at Kansas, and then Bill gets to take over again in the Bahamas.
Dude.
What if we lose to NC State in the first round of the Bahamas tournament? Are people going to be calling for Norm over Bill?
There will be somebody.
There's a subset of Twitter that will be dead serious with that take.
But I was just going to say, AB, we talked about this where I said, do you think we'll notice the difference between Norm and Bill late in the game? And to me, like, I thought Norm, obviously it helped that Grady Dick hits a shot, but the lob to Grady. And then I thought Norm was awesome late in that game. Like, to go back to Grady one was huge. And I don't know, we just and maybe it's more on the players, who knows. But to me, you really couldn't tell that was a different guy coaching the team. Like, I felt like Norm, I don't remember ever being like, come on, Norm, what are we doing? Put this guy in, take this guy out. I don't know. Like, did you guys
sense anything different with Norm?
No, I thought he was great. Obviously, yeah, the call's late. The lob to Grady was beautiful. I think, like you said, Duke really keyed on him. So I think that was going to be there all night, just how tough they were guarding him. And the backdoor lob, that was huge. I was just thinking, like, obviously, the older we've gotten, we know how the season's going to play out. Like, we're not going to be super invested in a November game. It still feels like a game our fan base would have melted down a little bit if we lost, you know, like, because what would our fans have said if we did lose that game? Like, we're not going to be able to score all year. Jalen can't shoot. Grady disappeared. Yeah. DeJuan still can't score, but then you win. And I also was thinking, like, there's a different feel when we play Duke or Kentucky in that classic. No disrespect to Izzo or Michigan State, but
we can disrespect them.
There's a different feel when playing Kentucky or Duke compared to playing Michigan State. Like, I remember last year at the Garden playing Michigan State, I was just like, I don't know. Yeah. It's just, they're obviously like the
less the outliers.
Yeah.
They should do like UCLA or something. That'd be cool. Sorry.
But I was going to bring that up. If we relegated Michigan State, who would we bring in? To me, like, Gonzaga would be very sick. Mm-hmm. Villanova would have been the perfect team, but now I don't know.
So I don't know. Tough because, like, you can't go UNC probably because they're in conference.
Play maybe so, 3 times can't go, a year. Like,
I mean, Baylor honestly would be kind of fun. Can't go them. Gonzaga would really be perfect because Gonzaga, KU, Kentucky, Duke are almost always top 10 teams, no matter what. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter how much they lose, they're always top 10. And that's the only kind of lame part of Michigan State. Is there's a lot of times where they're the one team that's like not ranked or they're ranked like 23rd or something. But I thought Michigan State had got absolutely pumped in this thing.
And
they're the same as Kentucky. They have the same record as Kentucky. I mean, Kentucky stinks.
Yeah. And I think, oh man, you posted the Rupp Rafters headlines off the message board and those were elite. Like one of the best things I've seen all week. And Cal's got to be getting questioned, dude. They would have missed the tournament, or they would have missed the tournament two years ago, right?
They did.
Miss the tournament. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. They did miss the tournament, and then, they lost to a 15 last year. They missed the tournament multiple times. Cal, I saw him on a list ahead of Bill Self today and almost died of laughter because it makes no sense. One has more natties. Obviously, Cal beat him in a natty, but he had some freaks, the 1 and 2 overall picks. So I don't know what would make Calipari – be ahead of Bill Self on any list. I mean, more conference titles, better record, more championships.
It is crazy how bad Kentucky executes late in games. Like, we just talked about how good, like, how nice it is to have DeJuan, and a lot of it is on players. But, like, Calipari has done something where he just – it's like he freezes and just doesn't they just run horrible sets late in games, or maybe they just don't even really run sets. Like I don't know. It's so different because when KU's playing late in the game, everything we do is so structured and it's just like run this set, do this. If that doesn't work, go here. And Kentucky just felt so unorganized and it would drive me crazy. And I don't know who Kentucky, I don't think Calipari's ever getting fired, but who knows? That fan base is crazy enough. But I don't know who they would go get that's going to be consistently doing. I mean, Calipari still has them pretty consistently competing for Final Fours and national championships. But it is kind of wild that if he doesn't – I mean,
if he didn't win his still have his 12. Job.
But if he doesn't make a Final Four this year with Shibuya coming back, like, man, they're going to lose their minds.
And can a big really carry a team to the Final Four? I mean, it's probably
freaking good, though. Mm-mm.
He's a monster. I mean, Timmy, obviously, for Gonzaga, maybe could. But, I mean, way the game's played nowadays, it feels like a big can't really carry a team deep. Maybe I'll be wrong on this. But, I don't know, just the way the game – basketball is obviously different. We always talk about guys that play recently would have been, like, top 10 picks back in the day. It's just the game's evolved. It's a lot different. I don't know.
The two guys you mentioned – in the tournament last year, they wanted to combine two games. So I think that backs up your stat, too, with Shiboy and Timmy. Because, it seems to always be the case. I don't know.
It's always been all about guard play. I think any head coach will tell you that. But I want to talk about DeJuan a little more. Because that dude is so good, dude. Like, I don't care. And someone sent me a Jacques Vaughn comparison last night. And at first I was like, that's kind of crazy. And then you kind of look at Jacques' stats, and that's a dude. He obviously wasn't alive, or I was alive, but I wasn't able really to watch the games when I was 3 years old when Jacques Vaughn was at KU. But yeah, just going back and looking at his numbers, he wasn't really like an elite scorer or anything. So with the old heads listening, any old heads that listen to our podcast, like, I'd love some feedback on Twitter about this. But is Jacques Vaughn a good comparison? Like, that's a dude that averaged 9 points a game in his career, and he played a lot as a freshman, like 25 minutes a game. He averaged 6.4 assists a game. DeJuan's averaging 7.7 assists. I know we're three games in, but obviously we just played one of the tougher games on our schedule. He had 10 dimes. We have scorers all around him with Jay Will, Grady, Kevin McCuller. We got a bunch of guys that can go up and get it. He can throw lobs too. He's averaging 7.7 assists. He has 23 assists and 2 turnovers right now, which is just stupid.
I mean, I think Jock's obviously probably a bit aggressive at this stage, but like, I don't know. I think DeJuan's going to be one of those guys where it's like, you won't realize, and that's what I'm trying to avoid, you won't realize how good he is until he's gone. Like, until we have another guy running point and realize that it's just those little things DeJuan does where he controls a game and you hardly even notice. It's like the national title game where Bill was like, DeJuan, you're going to change this entire game by just preventing them from, I don't know, like, DeJuan probably not quite there offensively with Jacques, obviously, but defensively, DeJuan, I think outside of Marcus Garrett, is DeJuan getting up there as like the second best defender of the self-air guard, I guess. I don't know. It's hard to compare like DeJuan versus like a Jeff Withey.
If we ever get Bill on the pod, we need him to give us his list. Like, maybe not even an order, but like just his top guys. Cause I don't even know who he'd consider. Cause obviously you got the shot blockers with like Withey, Cole. I mean, Withey was the best.
Yeah.
Doak, Embiid for a little bit. And then Travis Relaford, he always hyped him up. Morningstar. I mean, it's crazy how you can just almost with 100% certainty say Marcus is the best. Like, he was that good.
Didn't Russell and Chalmers like set steals records or something too? I was going to say something else about DeJuan, but we can wait until this part's
over. So
well, obviously we know his defense is good, and you kind of said his offense is shaky, but he kind of seems like he figured out that little extended little layup scoop thing where he's using himself as like blocking out the defender essentially, and I feel like he makes it every single time, which is huge if he can do that like a little more consistently than he has in the past, just because we talked about earlier, if Grady's kind of taken away, it's Jalen versus 5, and you know who's going to shoot it every time, just getting a second, third threat. But I think his offense is going to improve a lot over the next 2 years.
The little shot you're talking about, I felt like he had a huge bucket last night. It was like I think Duke maybe went up 4 or something, and it felt like kind of the first time that Duke was potentially going to close us out, and DeJuan just came right down, penetrated, and did that little shot, and all of a sudden we were fine. Like, that's what you want out of a point guard. He doesn't have to go tons of points, but can he get timely buckets that just calms everyone down and says, all right, we're fine? Or, I mean, he's going to make the right pass, but yeah, if he can add a little bit of offense, if he could shoot, he'd be the best point guard in the country if he could shoot.
Like, and that's why the slander always felt weird last year, because you didn't need him to shoot. And it's not like DeJuan ever took bad shots. You know, it's not like DeJuan's going to be out there forcing, like, yeah, maybe he'll miss some bunnies around the rim, but the threes he would take are wide open jumpers, which he did hit in the tournament. He hit some big threes against Villanova in the semifinal game. Yeah. And you didn't need, like, that's why the criticism was always weird, is what I was getting at, is because we've always had guys around him. Last year, you have 2 first rounders. You have a big that should have been the most outstanding player at the national championship. This year, I think you have, I don't know when Jalen will go in the draft. I'm assuming he'll get drafted. If he's going to be doing this all year, he's averaging 22 and 10 right now, which is stupid. And Grady, obviously, is going to be a first rounder, but he has scores around him. And that's kind of what I was getting to with Jacques, is those late 90s teams, everyone always hypes them up. Obviously, you have Paul Pierce, you have Pollard. You have
Rafe
LaFrance. You have a bunch of scores around him. Jacques, I didn't get to, I already said this eight times, I didn't get to watch them play, but Jacques didn't need to score. Like, Jacques just facilitated. I'm not going to act like I have a scouting report on Jacques Vaughn, but he didn't need to score. So that's kind of, maybe that comparison's not bad. I think Russell Robinson would probably be a more fair comparison for DeJuan. But like,
Jacques, he's approaching, like,
why can't DeJuan average 8-6 this year, 8-7, and be one of the best defenders in the country?
And this is not a slight on Russell Robinson, but I think DeJuan is getting past him. Like, I think DeJuan and Russ, again, was different role. DeJuan just has to have the ball so much compared to Russ had Mario and Sharon that could take a lot of the ball handling out of his hands. But as much as DeJuan has to do for this team, one, to just kind of control tempo, run the offense, and then also be just the leader defensively, like, I don't know. Russell Robinson was a stud, but I think DeJuan almost started to pass him in my eyes. But we'll see. Got to put together a full season where he's kind of one of the main guys.
Yeah.
We got to talk about somebody, and I'm going to let AB.
You want to take a break really quick first?
Oh, yeah. Let's take a quick break, and we're going to talk about somebody that I know AB is excited to talk about. All right. So let's talk. AB, he's been slapping his chest. He's been pumping himself up because he predicted KJ Adams would start at the five for this team. I even, as recently as Tuesday night, or last week before the Duke game, Sunday, whenever we recorded that pod, I have no idea. I said, it's got to be Ernest. Ernest needs to be our five. Ernest needs to step up against Duke. And boy, did things not go that way. Ernest, clearly young guy. It didn't work out. He didn't play well. He kind of seemed a little, you know, just a tough game for him to start with. Like, that, those Duke guys were good. But KJ Adams, man, what a game. AB, are you going to talk me into KJ just being our five all year? Like, is that a thing? Is this possible? I don't know.
Yeah, why not? I mean, it's kind of working so far. They haven't lost. They've been playing well. He just brings a different level of energy, and even though he's not the biggest guy or the tallest guy, he, like, makes up. I know that sounds so corny. He makes up for lack of size with, like, heart and
just effort. He can get up and block a shot because he can jump as high as
And he's like a big man to want. Like, he's not worried about scoring. He's not really worried about numbers. He's just trying to be in the right place, do the right thing, and help someone else out. And I just love him. Whether he starts or he's the first guy off the bench, I absolutely love KJ Adams.
He's definitely getting the point where, like, you can't not play him.
Like,
Bill, he's getting to that. Like, I could see this going, you know, how some – I felt like everyone loved Jamari Traylor, but I also felt like times people were like, why is Jamari starting over this guy? Why is Jamari playing over this guy? And I think that – and it's because Jamari just – he wasn't – flashy, but he just did those things Bill Self loves, and that to me is how KJ is going to be, where he's just going to do the things that this team needs, and he's going to be, it's going to be really hard to take him off the court. And so we'll see if he can keep it up. But him going 4-for-4 from the field last night, having arguably one of the bigger buckets of the night after a great pass from DeJuan, the and one, how many blocks did he have? Do you have that, B-turn? That, to me, was the part that got me a little excited about this being possible, is because we had so many team blocks last night where it's like, man, that's where you felt like we would lack, is a rim protector. Not all of our blocks were, like, at the rim necessarily.
Uday had 4 in 13 minutes of action.
Oh, well, that kind of counter-ops my – but that's pretty awesome.
The team had 13 by 7 different guys. I'd love to see the last time, like, a team had 7 different players with a block shot.
It really, when you have DeJuan, KJ, and McCuller on the court at the same time, the defense is nuts. Mm-hmm.
That's why they might have to do that. They might have to rock with that starting five at least for another month. Ernest and Zubi, I think we all agree they're going to be really good. I don't think they're ready yet. I think last night proved that. You can see the potential, and I would obviously love one of those guys to separate themselves and be the five, but like you said, you got those three defending, and then you got Jalen and Grady. Like, that's what I was saying to start the show. You got a couple elite scorers, and you got a couple elite defenders. So I don't see, I mean, this team, I think they're freaking set up beautiful. It's not even close to March, but I think this team's going to be, this team's, I like this team a lot, dude. I'm like giddy. I'm giddy about this team. And I think they could be really good by league play. Like right now, like I said earlier, obviously college basketball, it can be an ugly product when the years start. I don't know if you guys agree with that. Like the Champions Classic can be gross. Some of the in-season tournaments can be gross. But I think by the end of the year, this team's going to be really good. And I really like our bench a lot. Like we haven't even talked about MJ Rice tonight because obviously he didn't play. But against North Dakota State, he was great. Bobby comes in and doesn't make mistakes at all. He defends, takes care of it. Uday and Zuby, who would have, I think Zuby almost played as many minutes as Ernest last night. Mm-hmm. And then Joe, which
I'm so, I mean, that, I, dude, I Joe just loves Joe.
Getting shots up, man. And it's the best. His body's twisted all the way to the right. And I'm like, I don't know how it can possibly go in, but sometimes it does. And there's going to be some games where he has big scoring night, like a Big 12 game where he needs scoring on the road. I just
love that he just chucks. Like he's, I think he's at the point where he's like, whatever, I'm either going to miss these shots and not play, or I'm going to not take these shots and not play. And if I make them, I might play. So I'm just going to put them up, see what happens. And it's not working out, but I love his confidence. I love Joe. He still seems to have a super good attitude, but man, he just can't get the ball to go. Even that fast break layup, I was like, I just feel bad for him. But yeah, and Bobby's good.
I said it like a week or two ago, like no one in our starting five is gonna piss me off because they all play so hard. Like even Jalen on the boards, Grady's gonna score from multiple levels around the rim, mid-range threes, and then KJ, McCuller, DeJuan, like those three are gonna play hard. McCuller takes some questionable mid-range shots, but
I was gonna say it doesn't bother me because
he plays so hard. Like,
but like, if we're picking a guy for the fan base to turn against,
it's the guy that's been here for 3 weeks.
Is it gonna be McCuller?
Who would they? Yeah, probably. I mean, maybe KJ, just because KJ might have some nights he gets bullied down low, even though he's just from a hype standpoint. I mean, I don't know. There could be a big that takes over, and I don't know. KJ,
B-boy,
yeah. I'm trying to think like from a standpoint of who, because our fans will always like rotate to a guy on the bench that they want starting over someone, like obviously Remy and DeJuan last year. So I'm trying to think of someone that they would want to start over McCuller, which is tough because he guards so well.
Rock Chalk Blog, not to like throw them under the bus, but they did tweet that they wanted MJ Rice to start over McCuller after
that would be
7 minutes of MJ Rice playing, which was an electric tweet.
Which, I mean, people hated Marcus Garrett, and he was, like we said a few minutes ago, the best defensive player in the Bill Self era. Like people, if McCuller continues to struggle on offense, I'm sure there would be a lot of people giving him shit.
But he had some bad turnovers in that first half, but like the two threes he made from the corner were big. I felt like he kind of got us going.
At the end of the day, we need him to be aggressive. Like we need a second guy to be aggressive and go get points because Jalen cannot do it by himself. So I know sometimes shots might look stupid and might look bad or could have got a better one, but like, just remember the 10-minute mark in the first half to the 10-minute mark of the second half last night and remember how bad we can look on offense.
Yeah,
and the thing about McCuller is think of all the guys we've had transfer in that didn't sit out a year. He's picking up way faster than most of those guys do. So
yeah, that's why I feel like you could just plug him in the starting five and be good. And Bill's going to be obsessed with him the way he guards. And I mean, he's not an amazing shooter, and we knew that coming in, though. Like, he's never been a scorer. He was never a scorer at Tech. But, yeah, like AB said, great. I mean, and I was going to say Grady's been phenomenal so far, and we know how good he is, but – and I could be wrong here, but he's not going to do it every night. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's going to be a night where Grady has 6-8 points, kind of shies away, gets shut down defensively by some team, and so we need someone to step up, hit a couple jumpers, and I think McCuller is going to be a guy that is at least aggressive. It might drive us crazy some nights, but he's got that experience. He's played in big games at Tech, so I like Kevin McCuller.
On that Grady Dick part, the game you just described was last night for the most part. Like he was kind of shut out for 35 minutes of it, and then the final 3 or 4 minutes he just took over. And I mean, obviously you can't expect that exact game plan every single time, but he still hit his over for his like Vegas total over, still hit for him, and he was asleep for three-fourths of the game. So, like, maybe that's just – and I don't want to take too much out of one game because it could just be an outlier, but if he just has the ability to go off like that, then I don't think the offensive lulls need to scare us overall because at some point we're just going to go on a run. And that's kind of what we were last year too.
Yeah, I was going to say, we talked about how we're worried about droughts this year, but last year's team, which was
all we talked about,
way more talented or like offensively talented, but they went on droughts too, but they just, their defense, I mean, I guess their defense was kind of suspect at times. Man, it's crazy to think. Remember all year we said our defense isn't good enough KenPom wise to win a title. And then we ended up like, where did we end up defensively? KenPom, like,
oh boy, AB probably has it. AB has it molded in his brain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this team's defense will keep us in games when we go on those droughts. I tweeted this, scores. And I'm so excited for it. We're gonna win a Big 12 road game, 52-51, and it's gonna be so disgusting. The Twitter's gonna be melting down, and Bill Self's gonna get in the press conference and be like, "How about that ball game? I love that game." Like, he's going to be so fired up. Nobody loves a disgusting basketball game more than Bill Self. And I think this team's going to give us some. It's going to be like a game where, like, Bobby Pettiford scores 4 points in the final 3 minutes to lead us to a win. Like, it's just going to be something weird. And this team just has that makeup. And those are the teams Bill Self loves coaching. And McCollar, DeJuan, KJ, I can't. Can you remember a time where we've had three defensive guys that just seem like they are meant to play for Bill Self? Like, I really can't think where we've had three guys in one lineup at a time. I guess, I mean, Relaford and Withy together was pretty good.
I mean, Marcus just 08.
Udoka was good, I guess.
And Dot was kind of, I thought. As
there you go, 2020.
Defender.
Yeah, so Dot, those Marcus. Are three guys. And
I just,
that team's pretty good defensively.
I think this team has – I mean, they got a bunch of guys back from a championship. They got that championship DNA. They play so hard, and it feels like they're a bunch of dogs. I don't know if you guys agree, but it feels like the whole starting five is DeJuan, Grady, Jay Will, Kevin McCollar, KJ, and then you got Uday, Bobby, Joe, MJ Rice. I think it's just a bunch of dudes that play super hard, want to win, and they got that championship DNA. They got a couple starters back from a championship team, Kevin McCollar, who was on some really good Tech teams, so – I think sky's the limit for this team, and I really think they're going to be good in a couple months, like really freaking good.
Yep, agreed. All right, let's take a quick second break here, and we will be back to talk either more basketball or football. I haven't decided yet.
45 minutes.
All right, minute. You got Duke. Anything else on Duke, or you just want to go on the football?
I'm fine, just going to football. I don't really have a whole lot on that either, but –
Yeah, me neither, but we don't have to go an hour if we don't need to, but all right, here we go. All right, let's talk a little Kansas football. Some fairly decent, I don't know, Jalen sending out cryptic, what would you call, tweets, Instagram story, I don't know. Jalen seems to be potentially close to returning, who knows. We got Texas coming to the booth this weekend. As we talked about, the recap of the Texas Tech game wasn't our best showing, one of the more frustrating games of the year. How are we feeling going into Texas? Can we pull it off? Back-to-back wins over Texas? Where's your guys' confidence level?
I don't know how I feel, really. I think yours has gotten kind of exposed on the road a couple times. He's kind of struggled late in games. Oklahoma State, obviously last week, their offense was terrible. Their offensive line didn't look very good. We haven't stopped the run all year, really, except against Oklahoma State, which was against a freshman QB, and they just couldn't move the ball at all. I've worried about Bijan for a couple weeks now, so we got to be able to stop the run. If they're running it effectively, it's obviously going to open a ton up for Ewers. They got Xavier Worthy and a lot of weapons on offense, so their offense scares me. It can be super electric at times, but I feel like it can be a little sketchy at times too. Obviously, they still have a chance. They still have a crack at the Big 12 championship. They're going to need K-State to lose one more. They have the tiebreaker over them. So it's still a pretty big game for them. But, I mean, it's senior day. We got a good amount of seniors. We've been really good at home. We've only lost one game. So it's a 9-point spread. I think we should expect them to at least hang. It'd be freaking awesome to beat them again and go to Manhattan with a chance to, spoil. I guess not spoil, because they would clinch. I think they clinch this week if they win and we win. They do clinch this weekend, but still, just beating Texas again, obviously a super good program. I don't know how I feel. I feel like it could get some – I'll go back and forth. I think it could get ugly because I really think their offense could put up 40 or 50 if they had a good day. And our defense can be suspect at times. We gave up 40-plus last week. We gave up a ton to Baylor. Oklahoma had 700-plus yards, so – I don't know. I hope it's a good game. It's going to be cold. Maybe Texas won't be ready to go, even though they probably have a lot of – probably still pissed off, a little pissed off from last year, and the, obviously the Kansas beat Texas jokes. So,
yeah. AB, where are you at?
I feel ripe for an upset, sir. I think the Hawks are –
right.
Yeah. Yeah. No, like, there's a lot that goes into it, but, like – they're not, like, really in the Big 12 race, are they? Like, I know technically they are, but they need a lot to happen.
They need one loss just, by K-State, and K-State has West Va and us.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Which I have a hypothetical so weird about West that.
Va, I can't figure that team out. But,
Braden, you said it's going to be freezing cold, very windy. Maybe a stack-the-box game just to stop the run and make him throw. I know that sounds crazy with Ewers and how talented he is, but... I feel good. It just feels like a game where they show out at the booth one more time this year after kind of a special season. And hopefully they're not looking ahead to K-State at this point, but it's like, how do you look past a brand like Texas? That's yeah, crazy. Exactly. So
senior day too.
Yeah. So I feel like really good, especially if JD plays, which it kind of sounds like he is.
I'm ready to watch him play again, man.
I know. Yeah. And I hope it's good, JD, because like Braden, you've mentioned it in a handful of episodes. People haven't really talked about his last four quarters of football, like not being too great. I don't think that's like something to worry about long term, but I am curious to like,
yeah,
did he put maybe, that behind him and now he's back to what he was for September and the early part of October?
Because say JD struggles, which we obviously don't want him to. I mean, maybe we needed to be less tough on Bean, and maybe he deserved more credit. Obviously, he made some bad decisions. He might have costed us a few – I mean, I wouldn't say costed us a few games, just a lot of – some bad timely turnovers late in games and tight games. Texas Tech, we're down 8. TCU, he threw a pick in our own territory. So maybe Bean deserved more credit. I mean, I guess I don't want to be this guy, but the two Big 12 teams JD beat were West Va and Iowa State, who are
– bottom of the league.
Bottom two. I mean, he beat Houston, and JD was amazing, and he took care of the ball. He made great decisions. He moved the chains. He won a couple road games. Like, I'm not trying to discredit him. I almost just think I've been so tough on Bean, and I feel bad because, like we say, he's a backup quarterback. But he's made a ton of plays, too. Like, and he got us bowling. I know Oklahoma State was playing a freshman quarterback, but he did get us to a bowl game, and I – guarantee you two are a little we're definitely nervous going into that Oklahoma State game that might be our last chance to actually go bowling, and he made it happen. Oh, yeah. And he was great against them.
I have my hopes up for I think JD is going to come back and be really good. I don't know what happened in those four quarters where he struggled. He was just due. Like, he was playing perfect football. Like, we knew he was going to have a stretch where he struggled. Four quarters in a row was a little rough, but like, I don't know. He was playing at an insane level. We don't need him necessarily back to the insane level he was at, just somewhere in between. He'll be really good.
I keep thinking this week, and I hate that I do this, and it's just being a fan, but what would have happened if JD didn't fumble that ball at the one against TCU? Oh,
why do you do this?
I just think about it, like, scenarios-wise. Like, what if we had two extra wins because of that? What if we were
– what if? It would be
tied with 4 minutes left.
All right, I'm not
that
doing
is the
this.
Only Let, game let's... that's the only game we've lost at home. We've been so good at home this year. It's been so much fun. Need the fans to be there on Saturday. I've heard the attendance is not looking good. Like,
it's
maybe
cold.
In the,
it's gonna be cold, dude.
Maybe in the 30s, which is weird because before the year, if I tell our whole fan base we're gonna be 6-4 going to senior day, I would ask the fans if they would go to that game, and they'd say hell yes. So I don't know why they're not. I'm worried about it, but we own Texas. People forget.
Let's do AB, you got the line in total for us real quick?
I sure do, sweetie. Texas is minus 9. And the total is 63.5.
I'll go first. I think we cover. I really do. 9 seems high to me. I think you got to take under in this weather, like just cold weather. I think I'm going under. But I think we cover. I don't know if I can't talk myself into winning. I just don't see it being a blowout. I think this team has too much pride. I mean, the Texas Tech game was so frustrating, but like they still have yet to get like truly smoked by anyone. Have they?
Yeah. I mean, Oklahoma, us or Texas?
Oklahoma kind of was a little smoking,
but then we covered 10 points.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. But like we're down 21 most of the third quarter, and
yeah, I guess that's true. But either way, I'll take Hawks plus 9 under 63.5, whatever it is. B turn, AB, who wants to go?
AB, go.
I'll take the Hawks as well, sprinkle the money line, and take the over because we just know how KU games go for the most part. Yeah. A lot of points. Even if it is cold and windy, kind of feels like offensive line weather to just like be freezing cold and block their dick off for Bijan. And I mean, we've seen it all year. The Texas Tech, Ryan, I think you said it on Sunday, they didn't run the ball worth shit all year long, and they play us and it's like 9 yards here, 12 yards here, 38 yards here.
Everyone runs.
And we've got a first round running back prospect coming into Lawrence. Yeah, it might get ugly, but yeah, I'll take
but KU sprinkle the Hawks money line.
Yeah, well, that's it's because I can't explain why I like KU this weekend, because everything, like, if you're looking at it on paper, screams take Texas by like 30. But I don't know. It just every game we've won this year, we've been underdogs outside of Oklahoma State and Tennessee shit. So
what do you got? I don't know. Turn.
I also think we can hang and probably not win. I think we could hang, but if I had to lean aside, I would take Texas. I mean, they're still playing to go to the Big 12 championship. I mean, it's in Morgantown. K-State is next week or this weekend. So weird things happen in Morgantown. They still got to play us. I'm not saying we're going to go into Manhattan and win, but we got a chance. Texas still playing for a Big 12 championship. We're playing for pretty much senior day, obviously maybe to get to a better bowl, but we're already bowling. I know these guys aren't satisfied yet, but if I had to lean aside, I'd go Texas. There's potential it could get ugly, but yours is, I also said yours has struggled on the road at points. And I'll just take the over because their offense can be explosive. Ours can too. Last week I took the under and that game went nuts. I actually almost hit that somehow late. It was at like 62 before being fumbled. But yeah, I'd take Texas in the over.
That well. All right. Well,
can I throw out a toss out before we get out of here? Toss up?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So I don't want to skip ahead a week, but would you rather K-State know they're going to the Big 12 title game before our game kicks off with them, or them have to win the game?
I want them to have to win because I want to spoil it.
So I'm so torn on this, guys. Like, it's a true toss-up for me because
he just hasn't slept in days.
That's a risky game to play, Ryan. Like, if we win and spoil for them, that's the non-championship greatest Twitter night, like, of our lifetime. I mean, all the shit we get to talk, all the feelings we get to have, like, you guys had a chance.
What are some best non-Twitter, non-championship Twitter times? Like, is that?
I mean, we haven't beaten K-State in 15 years.
I guess, like, honestly, the comeback against K-State in Manhattan last year in basketball was like an all-time Twitter. So, yeah, see, if we did it in football,
them all the time. Like, but then, like, the second part of it,
they're at home with a win to get in.
Yeah, and I think that, like, kind of affects their psyche a little bit. Like, there's a lot of pressure on them more than just the rivalry. It's like, we got to go win this game for, like, postseason aspirations as well. But the other side of the coin is if they see Texas, because Texas plays on Friday of that last week. So if they see Texas lose and, like, from 5 o'clock at night on Friday, Baylor? Yeah, I can't remember where it is. Yeah. But they get the rest of Friday and then literally all day Saturday until they show up the facilities at 4 o'clock, probably get taped up and go warm up. So like they have a good 24 hours to just think, oh, we're in the championship. Like we're already thinking to Arlington. Like we don't have to worry about this. I think they'd get up, but like so back and forth on it. And I just can't figure
it out. I just think they're going to be up either way. So yeah. I want to have the opportunity to spoil it. Because like you said, it would be.
But imagine how bad that night would be. And I think we have to start prepping for it. Is like losing to K-State always sucks. But losing to them while they essentially, I guess not technically, TCU would have to make it. But they have like a real shot at a Sugar Bowl, win or lose the Big 12. And that would be like, don't act like that wouldn't bother you.
No, but like K-State, to me, K-State fumbled a huge opportunity this year with how down the conference kind of is. They could be doing what TCU's doing. And to me, if I'm K-State fan, I'm disgusted that.
But at the end of the day, they could have the same season as TCU. Like if TCU loses one of their next two and K-State goes in, wins the Big 12 championship and goes to the Sugar Bowl and loses, like that's what TCU's going
to
do.
Yeah, but TCU, I mean, I don't know. To me, if you're playing in the Big 12 championship game and it doesn't get you to the playoff, like, what are we even doing?
That's what I don't even – like, if we win another game, what's going to happen? What's going to be the bowl difference if we win? Obviously, I want to win every freaking game every week, but
– I don't even think it matters. I don't think they do it that way anymore where it goes by standings.
Ryan wants Memphis.
I think we're going to Memphis, boys.
I think they just – they, like,
I'm
pick
about
it out.
To buy flights.
Oh, boy.
So yeah, that's why college football is weird. Like four teams make the playoff and then a lot of people just sit out in bowl games.
Yeah.
So there's just not a lot of juice behind it. But yeah, I mean, K-State last game of the season, I personally think they could come out like super loose if they're already Big 12 title bound and just kick the shit out of us. Like that could be a scenario. That's I'm just saying. They could be loose like in their You know what I'm like Because yeah, if they're yeah, no. if they have to beat their biggest rival, we would have nothing to lose at all at home to
get
the Big 12 title game.
You flip it and you think basketball. We love just kicking the shit out of K-State. Doesn't matter how important the game is. We'd love to do it, and so they love to do that to us. So, will you do a quick Les Miles impersonation saying "Who the fuck is K-State"? Will you do that real quick before we sign off?
I don't know how to do it.
Who the fuck is K-State?
What a moment. What a disaster.
The same game that he didn't even know if we won or lost against Texas Tech, which people forget that's like this. We had only beat Texas Tech one time in our program's history. Before that, I'm pretty sure, right? We were 21-2 going in Saturday. That's the second time we ever beat Texas Tech.
The image of him running on the field calling timeout, looking around.
We really hired a coach with dementia.
Okay. No. All right. Let's end this right now. I'm just pumped, boys, that it's November. We're pumped about basketball and we're pumped about football. But the Hawks, what a big win last night. Excited for hoops. Excited for football. That's it. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And we'll be back next week. Talk to you.